This morning we're going to start in the book of Genesis and end in the book of Revelation. Thinking about three sons or three families. The family of Adam, the family of Satan, and the family of God. We are, first of all, the sons or the children of Adam. Listen to what Scripture says in Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over everything that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life. I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. What a beautiful picture we have here of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Everything that God had created, very good. The dispensationalists call this the age of innocence. God made Adam in his own image, and there's something in every human being that reflects God. There's something in every one of us. The worst person that you can even imagine in your life, there is something in them that reflects the image of God. Every person is important because they were created in the image of God. There's a moral base, a sense of right and wrong within the heart of every person, a desire to do what they think is right. You might say, "Pastor, there's some people that have terrible standards of justice." We saw that in the bombing a few weeks ago. But there is still a sense in every person of something that's right and something that's wrong. There's a problem, but there is that sense of justice that lingers because we have been created in the image of God. God intended people to have children. Isn't that a great thing? We can look at our kids and say, "Well, that wasn't planned." You know, that's what we have today, right? Family planning, Planned Parenthood. You know, every person is not a mistake in God's eyes. God knows what he's doing. Jeremiah said, "While I was still in my mother's womb, you know, you were working me together. You were creating me." You know, it's just incredible to see these new pictures of babies that haven't been born yet. And how the detail has sharpened through the years. God intended Adam to live on earth forever. Adam had life. Adam didn't have death. God wanted Adam to remain on earth. I don't know what would have controlled the population of the earth, but God would have had it all worked out. You know, we wouldn't have had to worry about that. But they say that you could fit the world's population standing up probably in the city limits of Jacksonville, Florida. God would have worked it out. He will one day work it out so that we'll all be together with Him in heaven. I don't have to worry about those plans. He's got it under control. But He would have worked it all out. Adam and Eve and all of their children, all of us, there would have been plans. In fact, if Adam had not sinned, eventually there would have had to have been confirmed holiness, which is where the angels are at this point. There are fallen angels today. There are angels that have not fallen. About one-third of the angels of heaven, the Bible says, fell. Two-thirds are confirmed in their holiness. It was as if God gave them a window of opportunity where they could choose. Adam and Eve, for us, had that window of opportunity where they could choose. Eventually, their righteousness, their holiness, their innocence would have been confirmed. And if it had been, we would be more or less holy like the angels or the holy, well, the angels are today because the ones who fell are now called demons. But we blew it. In Adam, we blew it. Satan, through the serpent, entered into the garden to question the word, the motives, and the character of God. God does not want you to enjoy life. For many people, that's the view of what it means to be a Christian. God doesn't want you to enjoy everything that we have to enjoy, and so He wants you to become a Christian and give up all of the great things that, you know, you think are great but aren't really that. But God doesn't want you to enjoy. That's what He was saying to Eve in the garden. Indeed, God said, Satan said, this is about God, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Now, Eve walked it back a little bit. She said, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. Satan came back with, oh, you'll surely not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. He was saying to Eve, God doesn't have your best interest at heart. You should be able to have it all. If God holds anything back from you, God is wrong. So Eve took another look. She saw that the fruit looked good, that it looked good to eat. She reevaluated the situation. She thought, I want to be wise. Isn't it interesting who we listen to in this life? Many times we listen to the people who don't have our best interests in heart. Adam and Eve should have listened to the Lord. Instead, they listened to a snake. How many of you like snakes? There's a couple. Three. The brave brothers like snakes. They eat mice. They're not all bad. But you don't want to get your advice from a snake. This wasn't peer pressure. You know, you hear a lot about peer pressure. Well, all my friends are doing it, so, you know, all of my neighbors have thus and such, and I want to. This wasn't peer pressure. This was a snake. You don't listen to snakes. And she took a lower view of God. And that's the problem we have today, isn't it? We start to think lower of God than what He really is. That He would not keep His word. And she took the fruit. Actions have consequences. The actions of Adam and Eve that day fundamentally changed the nature of the world and the whole human race. At that point in human history, sin entered the world through Adam as the father of the human race. Again, if he had remained faithful, we could have been confirmed in our righteousness and we wouldn't have sinned. But we read in the Bible, Romans chapter 5, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. It became a part of who we are. And sin was the greatest plague that humankind has ever experienced. We're all infected, and we're all going to die because of sin. It came from Adam. There's nothing we can do that will stop its spread. We're in the path of the plague. And one day, it will take our lives, disintegrate these bodies into the dust of the earth. It's just a matter of time. Could be when you're very old. Could be when you're very young. Your death, we say, is a result sometimes of natural causes, but there's nothing natural about it. You don't feel it's natural when you're going through it. None of your family members or friends think it's natural, because it's not. God never intended for us to die. That's something that we chose for ourselves. It's no less tragic for a baby to die than it is for someone who's 100 years old, because death is the result of sin. Jesus put it this way. He said, you've entered into the family, another family. You have become a son of the devil. In John chapter 8, he said, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. It's a sad commentary on the human race that there's nobody perfect. To tell you the truth, I take great comfort in that, because I know I'm never going to run into a perfect person. I know that everyone in the sanctuary this morning is a sinner just like me. It's a part of our nature. We are all born, we all have within us the image of God, but we are also not only a part of Adam's family, we're a part of Satan's family. Adopted. As I was thinking about this morning, I thought, what would it be like if social services came in, and you hear about these things happening all the time, and took the children from a family and didn't put them in a better home, but put them into a home where they are manipulated, used, and abused. That's what it's like from going from Adam's family into Satan's family. It may look good, but we become slaves of sin and slaves of death. So there's a conflict in every person. On the one hand, we are a son of Adam, a child of Adam. And we don't feel right about sickness. You know, as I make my rounds through the hospital, I'm struck again and again with the fact that this just isn't right. This is not what God created people for. Cancer, no. If Adam and Eve hadn't sinned, there would be no such thing. It just wouldn't be here. You know, any heart disease, none of it, if Adam hadn't sinned. But then on the other hand, we're also children of Satan, children of the devil, and we follow, according to Jesus, his desires. I shared with a man, as I go through the hospital, what I would like to do is give every person there the same hope that I have. You know, for those especially who don't know Jesus as their Savior. That's the longing I have. I went to one person and he said, you know, he said, I can't believe in a God who would let little children be born with birth defects. That was the desire of a son of Adam. to live in a perfect world without pain, without sorrow, without death. And there is that residual desire that we receive from Adam. We get it wrong thinking that God did it. That's what we get for being a child of the devil. Jesus' disciples were even confused in John chapter 9. They said when encountering a blind man, "Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he be born blind?" And Jesus said, "No, this is not because of a sin of his parents or because of his own sin. This blindness is for the glory of God." And Jesus used the man's blindness to show that he was the light of the world. And he healed him. God revealed a wonderful principle through Paul in the book of Romans. And a lot of us have memorized this verse, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. In Adam, we have a yearning for eternal life, a life that never ends, a life not affected by sickness and death. In the devil, we earned sickness and death. We have the desire to be innocent, but we have to face the reality of our sinful nature. But in Christ, we have hope. We become the sons or the children of God. John wrote, "But as many as received him," referring to Jesus, "to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." Paul would put it this way in Romans chapter 8, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we also may be glorified with him." So you see, there's three levels. There's three families that we can be a part of. There's the family of Adam that we're born into. We are the children of Adam and Eve. We are also, because of sin, in the devil's family. And we have to suffer through sickness, pain, and eventually death. But we can become a member of God's family, where he gives us a unique relationship with himself. This is not the relationship that Adam had with God. This is not a creation. God originally planned for people to live here on earth. You'll have people come to your door and say, "Wouldn't it be great if there was no sickness, pain, and death? Wouldn't it be great if the desert blossomed like a rose? Wouldn't it be great if all of the mountains came down, were leveled off, and you could cultivate the land and produce food for the world, and that there would be no hunger?" You know, utopia, paradise. Wouldn't that be great? And we might be tempted to say, "Yes, that would be wonderful." And it would be, because that's what God originally intended for Adam and Eve and for you and for me. But Satan came into the world. Satan brought us down so that we would be his children, and thought he won the victory, and that after Adam and Eve sinned, They and all of their children for as long as the world existed would belong to him, would be in his family, would be faithful, would be loyal to him. Satan did his best to win us, to steal us, to kill us, the Bible says, to destroy us. But God doesn't want to bring us back to Eden. And this is the fallacy of those people who come around and say, wouldn't it be great to live in the Garden of Eden or in a perfect world? Because God has something better for us. He wants us to adopt into his family, to come into his family. He wants us to be his children. That's better than Adam and Eve could ever have imagined. Beyond all that we could ask or think, that God would put within us the spirit where we would say Abba or Papa, Daddy. And that we would really feel it and experience it for ourselves. What a difference from the relationship that Adam and Eve had. We can run into the presence of our Abba and be welcomed with open arms. That's what God desires for us. Three families, three sons. One, a son of Adam. Now, conflicted because we have that desire, as that man I met in the hospital. How could there be a God that allows such suffering? Conflicted because he's both a son of Adam and a son of Satan. But oh, that he might give his life to become a child, a son of God. The third verse, Jesus' own words in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. He wants to be a part of our lives. He's a gentleman. He won't barge in. He won't overpower our will. But he stands there at the door and knocks and gives us an opportunity to open the door. Do you want to be a son of Adam? If so, it means that you will be also a son of the devil, because we have that nature. Adam and Eve gave us over to him. Now it's our choice, your choice. Do you want to be a child of God? He stands at our door. And remember, this was written to a church. He wants to be a part of our lives. He wants a deeper fellowship with you and with me. Not just satisfied to stay where we are, but as Christians, we should have a desire to yield every area of our life to him, to allow him to walk with us. That's what dining. Come into my home. Join my family. Sit at the table. Have a cup of coffee. Enjoy this fellowship. It's something to think about as we gather at our own tables with our own families, how important that time is. And to be willing to say, Jesus, you are welcomed here. In every part of my life, I give this life to you. We open our door at salvation, but in the way we live every day, every moment, We open our lives to His presence. As we come again to His table, we're reminded of that fact. This is a commemoration of the Last Supper Jesus had with His disciples. He invites us to His table. He wants us to invite Him to our table. Let's pray. Our Father, we have opened this congregation to You in our invocation, inviting Your presence here today. We thank You, Lord, that You are here. And I pray, Lord, as we go from this place today, You will go with us. Special presence. A special relationship. Where we, as Your church, are saying, Lord, I want You in every part of my life. Change us, Lord. We desire to be Your children, to live like Your children today. Bless us, Lord, as we come to the table. Help us, Lord, to remember what You went through on the cross to pay for our sin. Thank You for Your sacrifice. And we ask today that You would bless us as we participate. In Jesus' name, amen.